All right. I'll let them take up the offering before we get started. And you can open your Bibles if you'd like to for the verse, or if you have your book, it's Galatians 2:20. All the verses are in our Sunday school book, and we'll be using that and also the notes that I have made here. And so we'll be using both of those, and we just want to get situated here. All right. Our lesson this morning is on your flesh's funeral. Now, don't get shook up. We're not all going to die unless somebody drops a bomb on us. But it's talking about our spiritual life and so forth. And the the first verse, the text verse, this verse is used several times in this Sunday school lesson, and it's my favorite verse in the Bible. Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I've had several verses over the years, and that one is probably my favorite. I've got others that I like just as well, but anyway, we're glad that we can do that. Now, in the overview you have there in your book, it talks about Christians who desire to have victory in their life over sin, and to do that, they must identify with Christ on the cross and die to themselves. And it says here, killing the old man and its sinful tendencies, this decision to die to self or to sinful choices and desires, and to identify with Christ, it must be made on a continual basis. In other words, daily we ought to serve the Lord, because Satan is continually tempting us. The great tempter is the devil, and he will laugh and he will have fun when a Christian slips and falls or gets out of the traces or whatever the case might be. But he's going to have to do that right now, because his doom is eternity in hell, and he knows that. And so he tries to get every Christian he can to be miserable. Now, a Christian's not going to hell, so he's going to try to get everybody he can not to be a Christian and so forth. And so we need to realize that our life is just like the flesh's life. It dies sometimes. And so it's the theme is your flesh's funeral. And we read the verse. There are some lesson goals that we hope that after the end of this lesson comes to fruition, that at the end of every lesson or this lesson, we should, number one, die to self every day. These are things we are going to learn about this morning. Die to self every day. Understand that while dying to self is hard, it's something we should not regret, because we serve the Lord, because we put Him first. And then appreciate Christ's death on the cross so we can have victory in our Christian life. Now, there's an illustration that goes right along with this before we get started. And I want to read it because I certainly couldn't do it by heart. But it's in the teacher's manual, and it's a good one. It's a good illustration. But it says, surviving to tell the story, Brad Kavanaugh and Deborah Kiley were the only two survivors of a 5-passenger sunken yacht in 1982. Intending to arrive in Florida, Brad Kavanaugh, Deborah Kiley, John Lippo, Meg Mooney and Mark Adams all boarded a yacht in Maine for the routine trip. When they left that morning, the weather reports indicated that the seas were safe for sailing. However, by the second night, the waves were cresting between 35 and 45 feet, and the winds were staying between 70 and 90 knots. Kavanaugh and Kylie, both attentively watched the storms, while in the meantime, the other three began to drink. For 11 hours, Kavanaugh and Kylie watched the destructive, turbulent conditions. Finally, the other three said they were sober enough to keep watch so that the Kavanaughs and Kylie could get some rest. The rest soon ceased as they were awakened by rising waters in the ship. Adam and Lippeth had fallen asleep on duty and had lashed the steering wheel. As the ship had drifted aimlessly further into the sea, the ship began sinking into the shark-infested Atlantic Ocean. For the next few days, the crews lived on an inflatable rescue boat, suffering through a plethora of adverse conditions. They drifted further into the sea while desperately hoping for a ship to find them. Within a few days, Lippeth, Mooney, and Adam were dead. After four miserable days on the inflatable boat, the two remaining survivors were finally rescued by a Russian ship that took them to the Coast Guard. They lived to tell the story of the danger of drifting. And so then he goes on and says, for each God-given spiritual victory we experience in our lives, the devil will try to cause us to drift from our spiritual commitments and decisions. Whether the struggle is physical, emotional, or spiritual in nature, the devil will tempt us to get off course, to stray from the original position of victorious Christian living. It's such a sad thing that something like that would happen. But they do happen. And it's because people are not careful about their life. They will do things that they should not do. Christians, especially, it's a terrible thing. In 1 Peter, let me get back over now to the regular notes. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 53, we can read these verses. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 53. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walketh about, roaring lion, walketh about, seeketh whom he may devour. And then in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, we read the story that comes about with these verses. In 1 Peter 5:8, it tells us in Galatians 2:20 about drifting is a dangerous pattern, and then we should not drift far from Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And Romans 6:6, it's a changing event. This funeral we're talking about today is one that you must attend daily. I must attend daily. We all must attend daily. So, in other words, we die to self, and we live for the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to live for the Lord, and it's great that we can do that. To be crucified with Christ means that our old sin nature is dead. It no longer has power over us, our old sin nature. We need to remember that. It's dead when we're alive to Christ. So we want a life-changing event, our funeral. And we'll talk about that. I'm just going by the book. One like we've never been before. One we must attend daily. That's our funeral. And that means that we're to die to self and live to the Lord. That's what, in fact, the fellow that wrote this, Jim Shetler, is a friend of mine. I didn't give him those notes. He used to be at Pensacola Christian College in Pensacola. Now he's in the West Coast Baptist College in California. So he's gone from Florida to California. But he's a real good man, and he's a good writer and so forth, a good preacher. But five facts about our flesh's funeral. Five facts about it. Number one, it's a personal funeral. Again, Galatians 2:20. We'll not read it again or quote it again. Christ's death for us is the reason that we can be saved. Again, 1 Peter 3:18. What Christ did on the cross allows us to be saved. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. It says, let me read it. Maybe I typed it wrong. Let me see. 1 Peter, I didn't bring my Bible up here. Who's got 1 Peter 3:18? It's in the book. Well, I missed it in the book. Y'all, here it is, right down on the front, on the bottom of the page. All right, my bifocal didn't see it. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. What Christ did on the cross allows us to be saved, and then we put our faith in Him for salvation. Our death with Christ is our sanctification. It was an under-deserving act, a home in heaven. It's something we do not deserve, but we have when we put Christ in our life. By sanctification, it means a continual process that gives us victory in our Christian life. That is what is called sanctification. And it keeps us from sinning against Almighty God. Now, that's not in your Bible there, in your notes, but it's in the directory here. Being crucified with Christ is an act of being identified with Christ. And we must die daily to the old man and live daily for the new man. And when I say man, it's man, woman, but we need to be let Christ come into our life, and we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And so I want us to think about this, a personal funeral. It's in your book. Christ died for our salvation. And then our death with Christ is our sanctification. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I die daily. And then we go on to the second part of our lesson this morning. It's a painful funeral. And again, we can refer to Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, and so on. Crucified with Christ. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. We identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus Christ suffered dying on the cross, we'll die, we'll suffer in dying to self. We must die to self. In your regular book, it's on page 30 and 31. Okay. Philippians 3:10. Just as Christ suffered dying on the cross, we'll suffer to self. It involves surrendering our fleshly desires and sinful tendencies and our old nature. We give those up for Christ. It's not easy. The flesh still wants us to hang on to the old life, but we don't need to do that. The old nature is fear and anger and lust and envy and pride. All of that gets in our hearts, and then we need to ask the Lord's forgiveness. And our flesh loves our sinful desires, and we'll fight to keep from surrendering them. But, you know, as I think about it, it's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is there with us. It's a painful funeral, as we think about it in the book, a painful experience that we have when we do not put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as we should. We may be saved, but we don't need to get out into the world so much that we are not used of God in a daily situation. Notice what Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse number... Romans 7 and verse number 18. Romans 7, verse 18. I'm going to read verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. See, the devil always tries to keep us off track. And so we need to realize that. And we need to know that we try, but trying is not enough. And so on. And so as we read Romans 7 and verse number 18, it tells us all about these kinds of things. Paul the Apostle, the great missionary of the New Testament, admitted that his flesh was against him. It doesn't matter how spiritually mature we are, but funerals are always painful. Our flesh's funeral is no exception. We die daily. We ought to die daily as unto the Lord. By identifying with Christ's sufferings, we find joy that this world cannot offer us. But we can be happy in this world because we're Christians and because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read Romans 8:18, we need to realize that we're going to face hardships and trials and temptations and bad habits and all these things that we read about just a moment ago. But I want us to read 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12 through 14. Let me find it here in my notes because I didn't write out the words. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 12 and 13. 12 through 14. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, that though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. So we don't need to realize that strange things come along and hinder us and happen to not be good for us. It's a wonderful thing to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is on our side. And so it's a painful funeral. Now let me read the rest of Romans chapter 7. Beginning in verse 18, read it again and read the rest of it. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. This is talking about believers. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In those verses, we're reading about how the everyday life is in our life. And many times, the good that I would, verse 19 said, I do not. The evil which I would not do, that I do. I know every one of us could even give a testimony of something that they did that they knew was wrong when they did it. But then they got under conviction and God forgave them and so on. And you know, there's a lot of things in our lives that tempt us. The devil is the great tempter. And here in Romans chapter 7, verse 18 to 25, it says, "In the last verse, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And of course, then in verse 25, it says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So God is going to forgive us, and He's going to help us, and He's going to go with us, and He's going to be for us. He knows that we're human. Adam and Eve made it possible for us to be human. they're the ones that went in the garden, and God said, "You can have anything you want in here except the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And they partook of that tree. There was plenty of other trees. But because of that, they had to die. Now, they lived a long time in those days because God popular. I think the reason that people lived such a long time in the beginning, because they were going to die anyway. They would have lived forever if they'd have done what was right. But I think the reason that they died a longer period of life for us than we have is because God wanted to populate the earth. And God wanted people on the earth. And so He wanted them to serve Him. Now, in verse 18, as I read it, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And that's a good verse. We need to learn that verse. The present time and the glory will be revealed in us. We need to remember that God is for us. If we don't learn anything else this morning, God is for us. And we need to try to be for Him. We need to try to follow Him and so on. In our second lesson, second deal here in the book, it's a painful funeral, as I said a moment ago. It says here in Galatians 2:20, our text verse again, that I'm crucified with Christ. And so as we live for God, we live for Him. We live for Christ. And then in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 14, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy." Glad with exceeding joy. We can go from the basement to the attic, I guess you could say it, but we can rejoice with joy. Let me get my verse back again. "But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may also with Him also with exceeding joy." I had another verse in the back of my mind. I had to hunt this one up to get it right. "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." And it's a wonderful thing, it's a wonderful fact to know that God is with us. In James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, it tells us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." And then we find out that our flesh's funeral, number 3, is a powerful funeral. Now, I don't know if I've ever been to a powerful funeral or not. I've been to some funerals that were pretty powerful, I guess, but I don't know if they were real powerful. But it's a powerful funeral. You are alive. It's we're not in the casket. We're in the church, and we're at home, and we're in the Bible. But we need to remember that God is with us and will never forsake us. Again, the last part of Galatians 2:20, "Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." In Romans chapter 6 and verse 8 through 11, it says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him." I want you to understand the "no mores" here. Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. He only died once. "Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." When we confess our sins, He forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't mean that we don't sin anymore because we're down here on this mortal earth. But it does mean that once our sins are forgiven and we have a home in heaven, that's where we're going. And rewards are going to play a part, because as we live for Christ, the more rewards we have, the greater the blessings in heaven are going to be. And I wish I could tell you what all is going to take place in heaven, but I know we're going to be with the Lord. I know we're going to be with Jesus. I know we're going to be with lost loved ones. I know, people who are saved loved ones in heaven, and will not be with lost loved ones. And so as we think about it, I think we need to just really realize that it's a powerful funeral there. And as we read Romans chapter 6, 8 through 11. And then on a B part, we are free. Before we're saved, we were a slave to the stronghold of sin. But when we accepted Christ, we were not only saved from hell, but also from the power of sin. The power of sin. Sin is powerful. That's why there's so much sinning going on in the world. Young people, all the way up to adults, they have a desire for things that they shouldn't want or shouldn't do, because sin is powerful and the devil's powerful. He's going to try to get them out of the traces, even if they're saved. But what we need to realize is that we're with Christ. We're freed. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 18, through this powerful funeral, we can become victorious over the fleshly nature. We're no longer servants of sin. We've been freed from the bondage and cannot follow Christ if we have been sinners. And so as we think about this, we need to realize that we're freed. I want to look at something in book here for a second, in the teacher's manual. I'm trying to use the student's manual more than the other one. But in the Old Testament, God miraculously allowed the children of Israel to cross two bodies of water on dry land, the Red Sea and the Jordan River. The Red Sea is a picture of salvation as God delivered the people from Egypt. The Jordan River is a picture of sanctification, just as if I'd never sinned, in other words, as God allowed His people to enter into the land of promise and victory. So we have the promise of God, and He promises to be with us, and He said He will never leave us, nor will He forsake us. And then, point number four, it's a practical funeral. Our funeral to the death of our old life. Okay, you die to your old lust is the first point, A, under this practical funeral. But let me mention this. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." So we need to remember that This is one of the most practical verses in the Bible. We need to continually remember 1 John 2:16 that the world is full of lust. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then as we think about that, we die to our own lust. What is lust? Well, it's the definition is sinfulness or sinful longing. Sinful longing. Longing for sin. Not giving up on sin. And you know the devil has a good time when a Christian sins. He knows he's not going to take him to hell with him or her. But he does know that if we sin, we're out of the will of God. We're not doing what the Lord wants us to do and being what the Lord wants us to be. The things that the old man wants to see, the places he wants to go and the things he wants to do are all included in this death. This death. And the Bible tells us in Philippians, let me give you an example. You die to your old logic, the things that you do, your lust and your logic and your labor. Those are the three points here in this practical funeral. But you die to your old logic. The world's possesses are different than from Christians. What the world does is something that they want to do or don't want to do. And I think, you know, a lot of times people who first get saved, they wonder what this tithing thing's all about. Well, it's given back to God. That's what it is. And so that helps us to grow in the Lord and be faithful to the Lord and all those sorts of things. That's just an example. But again, Philippians 4:19 tells us that the will of God is a good example. Making decisions that are offered as opportunities the world would accept, but the Christian wouldn't just because of the money of it, he causes them to miss church. You know, there's a lot of people, just an example, there's a lot of people who will quit their job and take a job in another area for a little more money, but they have to work on Sunday. But if a Christian is really a good Christian, they are not going to quit a job to take a job that they wouldn't be able to go to church. There's a lot of things in life that we have to pray about and think about and live for. We die to our old logic. The world possesses possessing things that we don't need. And then in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we die to our old labor. Some believe that they go to heaven by good works, but the Bible tells us that we don't go to heaven by good works. We die to our old labor. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then in John chapter 10 and verse 27 and 29, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Those are verses that we need to remember, and they're verses that are wonderful because they keep us in the traces. And so even though we're saved, we need to understand that good works don't save us, but good works helps us have rewards when we get to heaven. The sole motivation for doing good works is the love of Christ. We serve Him because we love Him. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, it's a Christian who's daily dying to self is a Christian who labors for God out of a heart of love, not of obligation. And here's what it says. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. And then the last point is it's a permanent funeral. It's a permanent funeral. Christ died once and rose once. Arose once. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, our theme verse. And this is a one-time event. There's a little poem, two lines. Once in Christ forever, never from His love to sever. And so it's a wonderful thing to know that He is always with us, and we are His and He is ours. When we were saved, our flesh died and lost its power over us. The past decision affects our spiritual life. We choose to identify with Christ and have fellowship with Him. In His suffering, we die with Him. I die daily. That's what Paul said. That doesn't mean we drop over dead. It just means that we put Christ first and we try to follow Him. We claim His promise and victory over sin. And it's through His power that we live our life. While we might drift from our victory in Christ, we can go back to the time when we were saved and ask for forgiveness and be restored to fellowship with Him. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In other words, can we go out and sin and then just ask God to forgive us and put us back on track with Him? Well, He'll accept our prayers, but it says the question mark, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death, were identified with Him, in other words? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we go down into the water, it pictures our death. When we come up out of the water, it pictures our life. It's a symbol, it's a picture of us and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in conclusion, Romans 6, 1-4, we read those verses. But when we die to our flesh and identify with Christ's suffering, we appreciate what He did for us because He loved us so much. And He died a grueling, agonizing death. He died to give us life, and we have His life because He lost His. He lost His life and gave His life to us. It's a wonderful thing to realize that. Now, I've got just a couple of minutes. If you want to look at the study questions, I can give you the answers to them. We'll have to hurry. Well, there's eight of them. Why does the devil want us to drift away from Galatians 2:20? I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Why does the devil want us to get away from that? Well, if we're not dying to self, we won't have victory in our life. That's the answer to that question. Why does the devil want us to drift away? Point number two, why are two important facts about the process of drifting away from Christ? Drifting is often a process, but it's a slow process. We do not serve the Lord slowly. We need to serve Him fervently and so on. And then number three, Christ's death for me is my salvation. What is my death with Christ? It's my sanctification. I die daily. Live for Him. Put Him first. Number four, explain what lust is. Any sinful longing, sin in your heart, sin in your mind that causes you to drift away from God is a lustful thing. It's, in other words, we want something we don't need to have. Point number five, and I'll use this one, and then the rest of them I'll have to skip. It's time to ring the bell. But we discussed that Paul didn't just say, I die with Christ. He said, I am crucified with Christ. This is one of the most important things for us to remember. I die daily, but I die with Christ. But he said, I am crucified with Christ. Why is this word crucified significant? He was saying that he was not only identifying with Christ's death, but his crucifixion itself. Jesus died on the cross for us. And, that's the most amazing thing about our salvation, that Jesus died and took our place on the cross. But he arose again. And you know, as we think about dying, we're going to die one day, unless Jesus comes back and calls us home. But when we get ready to die, if we die, we're going to be with the Lord one of these days. He's coming for us. And that's a wonderful thought. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you'd help us now to understand and study what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.